How many believe everything Jesus said is true, and he said he knew what he was saying? All right. Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest that has ever born a woman. Of all men and women that have been born to women, John the Baptist was greater than all humanity. All men and women that has ever born, John the Baptist was greater. He said, you didn't go out to see a reed shaken with the wind. You went out to see somebody that had roots. He wasn't blown about by every wind of doctrine. And he stands taller than Moses, than Elijah, than Joshua, than David. He stands greater than all men that has ever born a woman. How many believe that? Then he said, but he that is the least in the kingdom that he had just established, the new kingdom, grace. You come in and born in the kingdom, you know. You can't join it. Nobody ever joined it. Somebody said, oh, join that. Brother, you can't join this. You got to be born into it. And the new birth takes place by the power of the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit, not by one preacher, by one Spirit are we all baptized. That's not water baptism. By one Spirit are we all baptized in the body of Christ. We're in the kingdom of God. Now, the very least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. That's a big enough jawbreaker. You could just be dismissed now and go home and think on that the rest of the evening. I am saved. I'm in the kingdom. May not be the biggest, but I'm in. And if I am the least, I'm greater than John the Baptist because Christ said so. How many believe it? You believe it with your head. Do you believe it with your heart? Then do you believe you're greater than David? You're greater than Moses? You're greater than Elijah? You're greater than Enoch? And just go on to all of them. You say, oh, well, but it really don't mean that way. He said, yes, it does really mean that way because I said it. He said the least is greater. It's not that you're greater because of who you are. It's what you have in you. And I'm going to explain. That's what I'm preaching about. You believe that, now believe this right here. What? That's in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in the 19th verse. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit, which are God. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And by God makes our body an habitation through the Spirit. That's exactly what Paul said. Our body is made an habitation of God through the Spirit. Whew. My, this is getting better every day, isn't it? Let me turn over and get something else now here. Over in the 2 Corinthians at the 7th, at the 6th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Let's read there just a minute. Now we have these things in the background. He that is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And what know you not that your body, this body, is a temple of God, and that the Holy Ghost dwells in our temple. Now, let's go right here. It said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What accord hath Christ with Belial or the devil? What fellowship they have? What doth the believer, what agreement doth the believer have with an infidel? There's no fellowship there. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I, God, Jehovah, God, I will dwell in them, and they shall be, and I shall be their God. And they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be unto me sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, what promises? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in you. That's myself. He said, I'm doing the talking. I will dwell in you, and I will walk. I will dwell in you, and I will walk in you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Jesus said, when I go to heaven and go to the Father, I'm going to pray the Father, he'll send you the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. When he comes, he's going to come inside. Said he's with you now, but he's not in you, but he's going to come in you. And then he said, after he comes in, the Holy Ghost will make an habitation there in your body for God. For it said our body is made an habitation of God through the Spirit. Then Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, after the blood's been applied, you become a new creature. The Holy Ghost will come in you. Then my Father and I, we, plural, more than one, we will come and we will make our abode in you. He said, I'll be in you, I'll walk in you, I'll talk in you, and it's God in you reconciling ourselves unto the world. It said, it's God in you that willeth to do, it's God in you that worketh in you, it's God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good purpose. Now, you say, I don't feel him. Well, let me ask you this. Try yourself. You know you're in there. Say, let me see. I don't feel myself. But you're in there anyway. Now, if I want to pick up something, reach over here and pick it up. And let me tell you, when God's in there, God can not only use your hand. I've had God to use my hands when I absolutely knew that I had nothing to do with it. I was unconsciously doing something with my hands, and it was God that was doing it. I've had my feet to be moved of God. I didn't have one thing world to do with it. God has moved me to a certain place. I walked in one day and I said, Lord, I've lost the key. Can't find it nowhere in the world. Can't find it. And I've got to find it. I've got to be at the station in 15 minutes. I don't have time to call someone to make a key. But I've got to have a key. And I had it here 5 minutes ago. I had it. I brought those groceries in. I had that key. I don't know where it's at, but you do know where it's at. I said, Sister Deborah, join hands. We prayed. I said, Lord, show me right where that key is. When we got through praying, here, she's witness to it. I walked right in, sat down on the bed, and was talking to her. And as I was talking to her, I reached down with this hand in the trash can and got weighed out a bunch of paper there, and which way down the bottom, and got a piece of paper out. And I was talking to her, and I was opening up that piece of paper. And while I was talking to her, I opened up the piece of paper, and the key fell out of the paper. It was wrapped up in a piece of paper in the trash can that had thrown in there, and it was at the bottom. Now, instead of me going out the other way or going in any of the other rooms, I went in the room where the key was. I sat down at the bed where the trash can was. I reached in there with my hand and got the key out. I'd asked God to let me find the key. God used my legs to go over there. If God can use your tongue is more unruly than any member of your body. How many believe that? You say, does God really come in? Does he really do it? You know what you're saying? You'll say, God, does he really? You'll say, brother, does he really tell the truth? Or does he just lie a little? He said, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. He said, I will come in and make your body my habitation. He'll come in. And if you want to know why we're greater than John the Baptist, it's because of that. Now, let me go a little bit further here, real quick. David back there, I want you to listen closely, because this will change your whole thinking if you live up to what I'm talking about and realize who you are. You know, the devil's afraid of you. He's a bluff. He came to Jesus Christ, and the devil knew he was Christ. But you know what he did? He said, "You! Ha! You're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, you can do it. Don't tell me you couldn't do it. If you're the Son of God, you understand this language. Take that stone. Say the word. You've been fasting 40 days. You're hungry. Say the word and change that stone to bread." Jesus looked at him. He knew he was Son of God. He didn't have to turn stone to bread to be the Son of God. He knew he was Son of God already. He didn't have to mind the devil. He just said, "Devil, you don't live by bread alone. You live by every word of God." But you know what the devil said? If those devils said, "You think that's Christ?" Think nothing. Are you kidding? I know he's Christ as much as I know I'm the devil. And I know one thing. He's going to spoil me. I'm going to be through when he gets through. He'll conquer me. He'll take the keys of death and hell away. He will bring in a kingdom. He'll make it possible for that bunch of people to have God come in and live in them. I can't afford to let him do that. So I've got to bluff him. And my only ace in the hole is this. I can't try to make him drink liquor and cuss and lie and steal and run around with women. I've got to brainwash him and make him not think who he is. If I can make him think he's not who he is. If thou be the Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God. Satan will tell you, "Who do you think you are? I'm a redeemed child of God by the shed blood of Christ. I am born again. I have the Holy Ghost in me. God the Father has made his abode in my life. And thank God through that, though I be the least in the kingdom, I'm greater than John the Baptist." And he is the greatest of any man that has ever born to woman. It's good to know who you are. And when you know it, you can say to the devil, "Come out." You don't have to lift your voice with faith. And he knows when you know who you are. God has always wanted to get close to man. He wants to get close to you. He may not be as close as he really wants to. And that's why I'm now in the next 12 minutes. I'm going to try to finish. He said, "David, you've been running all over the hillside. Saul's been running after you. Now you're back. They've made you king. What do you want to do?" He said, "God, you know what I want to do? I want to get your presence back in Jerusalem. The ark where God dwells. It is made with solid gold inside, lined with gold on the outside, solid gold. And all the different things, the cherub and the handles on it, you know, the rings where they carry the ark." And this ark had God abiding. He said, "I will come when you make it. I will come and I will dwell between the two cherubims. And I will commune with you over the mercy seat." Place the mercy seat right here on the ark. "And I'll come down and it'll be God himself." The ark represents the presence of God. And when the ark was brought out into the raging river of Jordan, the minute the priests put their feet in the raging river of Jordan with the ark of God's presence, the waters stopped and start backing up. Am I right? And they stood backed up until all Israel passed over. And when they all passed over and got over, then the ark was the last one. It just stayed right there in the Jordan. And when the last one went through, then they came behind it. And when the last priest's feet came up out of the water, the waters come rushing back and they went on their way. But it stayed back while the presence of God was there in Jordan. And any time they'd go into a battle, any time they went into a battle, the enemy would say, "Is the ark among them?" if that ark was among them, that was God among them. And they knew they were lost. They couldn't win the battle with the ark in there. David said, Lord, we're going to go in the enemy's territory. We're going to go over there where the ark has been. And we're going to bring it home. I said, come on, get your guitars ready and get your horns and your trumpets and everything. And let's go. Hundreds of them got ready. David got ready and all of them went down. And they went to this house where the ark had been. And they brought it out. And they put it on an ox cart. David was sincere in heart. He hadn't taken time to search the Bible. But anyway, he had a good thought in mind. And so they brought it out and they loaded it on a cart of oxen, and the oxen begin to pull it away. And though all the shouting and singing is going on, God would come very angry because they were violating his law. They were not to move the ark on a dumb ass or a cow or a ox. They must allow the ark to be moved on the shoulders of the Levites. Not just anybody, it had to be Levites. But now, they're moving it wrong. The second great mistake, David had not searched the scripture. He had not prepared the place scripturally for it to go when they brought it into Jerusalem. They were just going to go get it and bring it in Jerusalem and then just say it was there. But it was not only to go into Jerusalem, but when it went, it must have a place prepared for it before it arrives, and there must be certain things right there when it arrives, with the light burning and the incense and that table so square, brass lined over, all solid brass, and that smoke must go up with an incense, and that must go up, and it must not go out by day or night, and the great altar for burnt offerings, just for burnt offerings, 7 foot, or about 9 foot in square, and it was 3 feet, about 4 feet high, I think it is, about 4 feet high, and there was the candlesticks for the candles and all. Now, all that is supposed to be just there when the ark, God's divine presence, comes in, and David had a good thought, but he had failed to make a preparation for it. So they go down and they get the ark and they're bringing it on back. They're dancing or they're praising God and they're shouting and they're playing music. And all the music is going. Everybody's happy. Everybody is exceedingly religious. But God is not. Things are wrong and he can't allow this to happen. And as they came to the threshing floor, there was a little rise there and it bumped like. And when they went over the threshing floor, the ark tilted a little bit. And Uzzah, one man standing real close by, as the ark tilted a little bit, Uzzah reached up and took his hand to balance it to see that it wouldn't tip over. And when he did, God struck him dead, and he fell to the ground. And when he fell to the ground, the moment he touched the ark, they realized that just anybody must not touch it, and they must be very careful who handles the ark. But now, there's a breach among them. He's dead. And David, it said, he become greatly displeased, and he was afraid of God all that day. And they said to David, what are we going to do? He touched it, and God struck him dead. Something's wrong. David said, yeah. There's something wrong. I don't know what to do. We can't leave it here. Levites, the religious people, I want the best we got. Come up here and let's ask God to let us just take it into the first house we come to here. We're just along here on the road, but I want the first house here. So they grabbed the ark, and they walked into that first ark, in the first house, and as soon as they got there at the door, they said to the fella, they said, we want to leave this ark here with you in your house. What's your name? He said, Obed-Edom. He said, you're not an Israelite, are you? No. He said, I'm a Hittite. A Hittite was one of the top enemies of God. Wherever you read in the Bible, wherever you read, he mentions the Moabites and the Canaanites and the Hittites. The Hittites were enemies of God. And Obed-Edom was a Hittite. But his house was right there, and here's the ark. And they brought the ark, and they put it in his house. And they went on back to Jerusalem, and David got alone with God. And after several months searching, he got all the religious people together. And it said that he began to search the scripture, and he said, "Now, I want to have a meeting of all of our Levites and priests." And he got up and he said, "Boys, I could read it to you, but I've read it so many times, I'll just quote it to you." He said, "Fellas, because we failed to move the ark right the first time is why God killed Uriah. We were violating God's law by moving his presence and moving it upon a dumb animal. It should have been moved on the shoulders of the Levites. And now we must go because I have taken time." It's called a couple of months. And he said, "I have prepared and pitched a special tent and a house for the ark of God. I have searched and I have all the different things in place. Everything that God's law said must be there when the ark is placed in, they're there and everything is ready. Now we're going to go down and we're going to get the ark and we'll bring it back because God said don't ever move it until you got a place prepared for it. Where are you going to take it?" And I hadn't even thought about preparing a place. I was just wanting to get it. But God let them know, "I'll kill somebody, get your attention." And when they saw it, they found out they were violating one of God's laws. And the Bible says that when they carried that ark into the house of Obed-Edom that day, it said the blessing of God immediately came upon Obed-Edom the Hittite. Though he was an heathen, though he was a Gentile, though he was isolated and foreign to the children of Israel, it said the blessing of heaven came upon the household of Obed-Edom, and not all. And all that Obed-Edom had, God blessed not only him and his house, but all that pertained to Obed-Edom, God blessed it abundantly. Does that tell you anything? Brother, whether you are an Israelite or not, when God's divine presence comes, brother, everything else fades away. And so when David came back, he found the household of Obed-Edom, greatly blessed of God. They got the ark and they brought it back to the place that God they'd prepared for it. When they got it back, they had the singers, they had the incense going, they had the sacrifices that were burned, and when they would come before God, they would purify every offering by being burned in the presence of God, and then God would accept it. And after he had arrived at that place, he enjoyed it. They stood and sang hymns and played. He said, "I want you to do it around the clock." And he said, "I don't want the light to go out. I want somebody here constantly praising me." While they were bringing the ark into Jerusalem, we'll say, "Who is this fellow right here in line that's walking right along with the ark?" Said, "It's Obed-Edom." David found out the blessing of God had been pronounced upon him. And they said, "You can come and join the children of Israel and praise God as we carry it into the city." So Obed-Edom, the Hittite, the Gentile, the heathen, transformed by the presence of God, is walking along with the ark. When they got there and put it in the tabernacle they'd pitched for it, David chose so many to take charge of the altars and the keeping of the lights and all. And he came around to Obed-Edom, and he said to Obed-Edom, he said, "I want you to stand here at the door. I've got another one of the children of Israel stand over there. But I want you to keep the door to the house of God, to God's divine presence." Now let me just drop in and say this. Sister Hibbert, you was reading that the other day, and you know this is true. That word over there that I read to you a while ago, that we are the temple of God, that word temple there is identically where it means temple, house, or place, you know. It is the same identical word that is used over there where it speaks of the holy of holy, where God's divine presence abode. That was called the holy of holy. That same word, we are the holy of God. Now, here is the interesting thing that I want to give to you. I won't have to read it. I've read it several times, thrilled about it. When David had got through putting the ark there, and they were singing, they were playing, and the glory of God was there, at last the presence of God was in Israel. How many believe the presence of God should be in any church? Yes. All right. It's more than that, though. Let me show you this. David went home. And when David went home that evening, he got into the house. And when he did, he said to the prophet of God, Nathan, he said, Nathan, I've just been thinking that I, the king of Israel, I dwell in houses lined with cedar, very expensive place of abode. And while I lay down and sleep in houses of cedar, the ark of God is in a tent, in a tabernacle. Of course, God accepted. That's all he'd ever had before, is just a tent. And he said, Nathan, I want to build a house for God. And Nathan said, King, you're in and everyone loves you. You can have anything you want. If you want to build a house for God, go ahead and build it. And he said, well, thank you, Nathan. They finally said goodnight. He went on home. And while he was pulling off his shoes, getting ready to go to bed, God said to him, said, Nathan, put your shoes back on. I got a message for you. I want you to go back and tell David something. I was just over there, Lord. I know it, but I want you to go back. I've got something I want you to tell him. You told him wrong. You told him to build me a house. Now I've got a message. You go back over, and when you go into David, this is what I want you to tell him. Now let me read right here. It reads right here. Let me get this right here. The 10th verse, 17th chapter, is where I want to start reading here. Let me see. Here it is. Yeah, 17th chapter of 1 Chronicles. It said, and since the time that I commanded the judges to be over you in Israel, moreover, furthermore, I will tell you that the Lord will build thee an house. And it shall come to pass that when the days be expired, that thou shalt go to be with thy fathers, and I will raise up thy seed after thee, thy sons after thee, which shall be of thy S-O-N-S. After you go to your father David, I'm going to raise up after your seed and after your sons, I will raise a seed up after them, and I will establish his throne. Now, you can read this slowly when you get home. Now, it said, I will establish his throne. He shall build me an house, and I shall establish his throne forever and forever. And I will be a father unto him, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it away from Saul, which was before thee. I will not let you build me a house. Now here's what it says just before. I'll not take time to read it, but I'll just tell it to you. Nathan came in and said, David, God told me to tell you that he would not let you build a house. But he said to tell you, who will build a house? He said to tell you that from the days that he brought the children of Israel out from Egypt, when you get home you can read it, and I'm telling you exactly what it said. He said, God said to tell you that he has not asked anybody for a house to dwell in, but that he has gone from tabernacle to tabernacle and moved from one to the other. And then he'd go from one tent to another tent. God said to tell you that he moved among the children of Israel from tent to tent, from tabernacle to tabernacle, and not one time did he ever say, build me a house. Because he said, this ark is as near we can get to it. But you will not build me a house, neither will your son Solomon build me a house, but your son's sons, there will come from the seed of your loins, there will come a son that will build me a house to dwell in. And his kingdom shall be established, and his kingdom there shall be no end. And I'm going to be his father, and he shall be my son. And I'm going to read you something that'll kind of make you shout just a little bit. In Revelation, and I'm through now, in Revelation the 20th chapter, and this last verse here, it said, I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and the morning star. He took upon him the form of man and was born of the seed of David. Through the seed of thy loins, I'll raise up a son that will build me a house, and I'll move into it. It's not going to be an ark. It'll not be a big temple, but he'll build me a house. And brother, it said, beloved, we are the tabernacle of God. We are the holy of holy of God. God said, I will dwell in you. I'll walk in you. I'll talk in you. And I will make my abode in you. Brother, that presence of the ark, when we receive the Lord and come into the fullness, our bodies belong to him. When he came in, he said, sacrifices and offerings I would not, but a body. Our body is a temple of the living God. Ye are the temple of the living God. Now notice, when God comes in, he said, God's going to walk in you. We are the temple of God, for God said, I will dwell in them. I, the God of Jehovah, I will dwell in them. Your name is Tom Tucker this morning, sitting out there. God said, Tom Tucker is going to be my house. And as I move there in that ark, my son made it possible that though we are just a normal human being, through the power of the Holy Ghost, you become the holy of holy. God himself comes in to dwell in our body and to walk there. And it said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us prepare a place for the ark. David said he got angry because they didn't prepare a place for it to come. Before God moves in, before the Holy Ghost comes to set up his abode, before God said, I'll walk in them and I'll talk in them, I'll be their God. Christ said, my Father and I, we will come and make our abode. That's not jumping in and jumping out. You say, Brother Hibbert, where do you abide? Well, I go a lot of places, but I abide where I live. That's my home. And God now has chosen our temple. Now let's go back to what Jesus said. Jesus said, John the Baptist is great. Greater than anybody that ever lived. Greater than Moses. Greater than Job, Daniel, Noah. Greater than Elijah, greater than Joshua, greater than David, greater than all the great prophets. But he that is the least in the kingdom, that has received the Lord, and the Holy Ghost is to you and your children, to them that are afar off. Beloved, it is God that worketh not for us, but God that worketh in us. And we are the workmanship of his creation. The Bible said we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's put his stamp of approval upon it, and we are now made a house cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You carry God home with you. The Bible said, beloved, now are we the what? Sons of God. We're not going to be the sons of God. We are the sons of God. Do we have Christ in us? Christ, the hope of glory. If Christ is not in me, I have no hope of glory. I have no hope of heaven. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. God said, I have made the body my temple, and I will dwell in them. This morning, how many believe that is a glorious promise? And to know that, how many believe that God is willing to heal your old sick body since he dwells there? Everything has to come by faith. He requires us to believe it. Now, how many this morning you can say, Brother Hibbert, I believe exactly what you said. You haven't read false doctrine. You've given us exactly what the book said. And for us to go out of this building knowing I'm carrying God with me. We walk about. And we're sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in whom we shine. Jesus said, don't take no thought for your body or what your food or what you're going to live in and all, but seek first the kingdom. The kingdom was established by Jesus Christ. We're born into the kingdom, and we are the house that his son made. You search that Bible. Nobody on earth can find any house that Jesus made while he had come into this world but the one. He said, when I go back to heaven, he was still here on earth. He said, when I go back to heaven, I'm going to appear before the Father and send the Holy Ghost. And when he comes, he's going to make your body a temple of God. And my Father and I, we will come unto you and dwell in you. Brother, that's making our body. He makes a house, a holy of holy for God. And that's what he told David. David, you can't build me a house. But through your seed, my son will come into the world. And everybody called Jesus the son of David. The blind men on the highway, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the son of David touched him and made his eyes open. He was referred to as the son of David. He was the son of David from the earthly, from the human side, Mary. But he was the son of God from the other. But how many believe he built him a home? How many believe he made a Now, here's the thing. If you're here this morning and your house, your body, is not a temple of God, you have utterly failed God. God wants you to become a temple. What do you have to do? I'm through. The simple word of saying, Lord, forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. Come into my heart. God takes over.
Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Then cleanse the temple from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Know ye not that all lust and all filth and all sin defiles God's temple, your body? Sin shall not have dominion over you, that ye should live in the lust thereof. Then carry out the filth out of the holy place. Get back to the consecration you once had before God. Cry out for mercy. Ask the blood to be applied to your soul and your sins forgiven. And then will I abide in thy heart, in thy temple, and thou shalt be in reality a place that you've prepared for me to abide. I refuse to abide in an unclean vessel.
That was God talking. That was God talking through Sister Hibbard as a channel through tongues and interpretation. Go to heaven right now and say, God, was that you just talked to us? Says me. I said every word. How many believe the Lord knew what I was preaching on? He confirmed it. And the scripture I just quoted you, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, of God coming in and dwelling, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's God's promise. He just said it. Now he said, you're here this morning, you have sin in your life, and you do not have my presence with you. But he said, if you'll come this morning, I'll forgive your sins, I'll blot them out, and if you'll invite me to come in, I'll come in and abide in you and make your body a temple. Friend, if we're thinking right, there's not a person here this morning, if there's a doubt in your mind that he's dwelling in you, but what you want to take a hold of this promise that's backed up by God Almighty's word. But many times, why do not people come? It's because they're bound by the devil. They're bound by Satan. And I want every Christian in this building that you know you're a child of God and you know Christ is in your life, put your hand up. Stand to your feet. I want the others to stand with us too, if you don't mind. Stand. As we stand, I want every Christian to raise your hand right now. And I want you to pray and ask God to bind the devil's power and loose people here this morning that are bound by the devil, that they will come to this front and ask God to forgive them of sins they've committed and to invite the Lord to come in. They can go out of this place a brand new person. You can get rid of sin in your life. I want us to pray right now. Come on, Father, we pray by the power of the Holy Ghost that you'll take dominion over the body, the mind, and the soul of individuals that are deceived and are bound by satanic power. Break that power by the power of the Holy Ghost right now and loose them from it in the name of Jesus, and let them come forward to make that surrender. I want everyone in the balcony, under the arches, and down on the main floor. If you're not absolutely sure that every sin in your life is forgiven, and if you're not absolutely sure that God is in your body, that the Holy Ghost has made your body a temple, and you want Him to come in, I want you to step out and come to the invitation that God made Himself. He said, come. I want you to move out. Start coming from the balcony underneath the arch. Come on. Come to the front and stand. God bless you. There's others. Come on. There's, I'd say 50 or more people here this morning. You need to let God, you need to confess some things that stand between you and God. And you want God to help you. We're going to come on. I want you to step out. You can go away from here having the presence of God in your life. Someone else real quickly. Would you come? Holy Spirit's moving. Ask yourself the question, do I have God abiding in my body? When I walk, does He walk with me? Is the Holy Ghost in my life? If not, you're turning down a chance for God to come in. And that's the only way you can be greater than any that ever lived before. It's yielding to the Holy Spirit, letting God make your body a temple. Would you come? Others, it's no disgrace to step out. The greatest thing you ever did in your life is to move out and come. Real quickly. Oh, hallelujah. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, God just spoke to us in a message directly from heaven. You can carry God out with you. You can let the Holy Ghost abide. You're not able to confront the powers of sin and the devil in the world today without God. There's many dangers that can come your way, but the security is having God in you. Real quick, I'm not going to hold it much longer. They're still coming. I feel there's others that's coming here. Just a moment. Is there anyone else? How many you have a loved one that is suffering in body? When you put your hand up, it's representing that individual that's suffering, and you're going to believe God for them to be healed as I pray right now. I don't want you to doubt. When I get through, I want you to thank God they're healed. And you can tell them the prayer of faith has been prayed right now all over this building. Father, you said we have access by faith unto your grace. And we come boldly to the throne of grace through the merits of thy Son, Jesus. And we pray that you'll remember the hands of each one that's lifted. If they have an affliction in their body or suffering, touch it now by the power of Calvary. Jesus, I curse the thing and I minister health and healing through the stripes of Christ to everyone that's believing. Touch the individuals that are suffering elsewhere. Heal their body. Jesus, manifest a miracle in their body for Christ's sake. Right now, we thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. How many believe that though we were heathen and dog in the sight of God, how many believe that through Jesus Christ opening up the way and making our body the holy of holy, as God blessed the household of Obededom, how many believe he'll bless your life and the blessing of Abraham will come on you through Christ? How many want that blessing? Put your hand up all over the building. Put the other hand up, and I'm going to pray right now that God will give you faith to believe it. Father, you would not forsake Abraham, neither will you forsake one Christian that has accepted thy Son. The blessing of Abraham will come on us through Jesus Christ. I pray thy blessings to be invoked upon everyone here this morning. Let them feel the divine presence of God. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I want everybody in the building to give the Lord a good hand clap to let him know God's heard. You believe in the book? If you do, how many believe we're somebody going somewhere? I'm not great because of me. I'm great because of what's in me. I said I'm not great. That ark wasn't great because it was an ark. They feared it because of what dwelt in the ark. God said, I'm going to come down in the ark. And wherever that ark was, there's victory. When the ark hit the river, it rolled back. Not because of the ark, what was in it. The devil's not afraid of you, but he's afraid of what's in you. What's in us? Our body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. How many believe we've got a revival on the way? Let's give the Lord another hand. Let you be dismissed. I want you to come back tonight expecting a great time. Don't let anything stand in the way. Be here at 6 o'clock. Father, we pray to bless and keep us and guide us. Bless these that have come to the front, these that have made their cry to thee. They've been led through. Now, God, we pray to let them go in the fullness of God with your blessings upon them. Keep us and bring us back tonight for Jesus' sake. Turn around and shake hands with someone. They'll be playing a good number for you. Now they're having the workers working with them here at the front while God is...